We'll start off, let's pray first, then after that, we will see whether anyone can remember the memory verse from last week, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come. We are so humble and we are so thankful that you have allowed us, Lord, to come into this place to hear your word so that we can understand your love for us, your word, so that we can come back to you, Lord. Help us to understand that when we're here, you want to speak to us. So open our hearts, open our minds. Teach us, Lord, and help us to be obedient to what you have for us. Speak to us in understanding, repentance, and faith, in salvation, I pray. The Lord, you help me to expound your word clearly so that the people can understand and they can go back to you. And we'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, Acts chapter 26, verse 20. Anyone want to try? It starts with but. But shoot first at Damascus and at Jerusalem and all and throughout all the coast of Judea. Okay, let's read together, okay? So it's challenging for me to come. Let's read together. Turn to your Bibles first. Acts chapter 26, verse 20. Acts chapter 26, verse 20. Let's read together. But we'll try to remember this, okay? Ready? One, two, go. But shoot first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Okay? So last week, we talked about repentance. And repentance is a 180-degree change in our minds that we have sinned towards God and we have decided to turn around. Okay? There's a very simple explanation. There are some people who believe that, oh, repentance is just a change of mind. But you know, change of mind needs to lead to a change of life. Actually, all it is, I know I've sinned against God. I know that God is holy. And I realize, hey, if I continue this way, I'm condemned and my sins can never be forgiven. No matter how much good I do, I'm already condemned. But then, repentance means, after I've learned that, I say, no, I cannot anymore. I turn the other way, I go the other direction. Okay? So that is in the mind. Any questions? Okay? So it's a 180-degree change. There is no salvation without repentance from sin. There's no salvation without repentance from sin. When you're clear that it's wrong and you continue in it, you're continuing in sin. You have to turn. Okay? So that's repentance. So last week we dealt with repentance, but today we're going to talk about faith. Okay? Today we're going to talk about faith. Can we have the slides? Okay, today, follow that slide. So hopefully it can help us to follow a lot more. Okay, the next one. Okay, this is the verse that we had, all right? Shoot first. Okay, so this is the 2 points that I highlighted. Please remember this, okay? Remember this for your quiz. Okay, I'll give you a clue. We need to be disciples. We need to remember those things that we are taught, okay? Now we're going to move on to this area called faith. Okay, sorry, let me just quote Luke 13, 3 to 5. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Verse 5 also, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Jesus actually said repentance 2 times in 3 verses. And he says, if you don't repent, you will perish. If you don't repent, you will perish. It means it is very, very important. Okay? So we have to remember this from the Bible. So today we're going to talk about what is saving faith. What is saving faith? Okay, so I'll give you this one first. Repentance from sin, which we talk about today, we talk about faith in Christ, equals to biblical salvation. In order for us to make it to heaven, in order for us to have our sins forgiven, we must have repentance from sin and faith in Christ together. That's what the Bible teaches. That's why Acts chapter 20, verse 21, remember that verse, testifying both to the Jews also and to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul went everywhere preaching these 2 things. Faith in Christ and repentance from sin. These 2 things he kept everywhere he went. He preached these 2 things. Okay? It was really, really an eye-opener. I spoke to a man. Okay? I stay in an Airbnb. Okay? For those who know Airbnb, a place that you go there, you rent. And so I stayed there for 5 days. And if you know, Philippines is a very Catholic country. Right? Very, very Catholic country. So at the end, they just finished the festival of the Black Nazarene. You know what's the Black Nazarene? Black Nazarene is a very scary festival. The host, who is a very strong Catholic, told me even when he looked at the Black Nazarene, he was very frightened when he was a child. Basically, it's actually this statue of this Jesus who is in black. After a fire, apparently the statue wasn't burnt. Okay? And so they have this reveration, or they have this reverence for things that so-called, they believe in miracles so much. So they call him the Black Nazarene. Jesus was a Nazarene. So they call him the Black Nazarene. There's no such thing in the Bible as a Black Nazarene. But that's their image, okay? So it was very frightening. So their family was very Catholic. So I was praying for an opportunity to share the gospel. I couldn't share with the host, but I managed to share to his brother. His name is Mark, okay? So on the dime, I was waiting for Pastor John Mark to fetch me on Friday. I sat down. Well, I was ready about 7:30. John Mark was late. He came about an hour later because of jam. So I had the privilege of sharing him the gospel. I asked him, do you know that you'll make it to heaven? And he said, well, I hope the good works that I do is enough to bring me to heaven. You know, he actually said, I hope I'll make it. And they said, why would Jesus let you into heaven? He said, well, I've done my best. I've done good works. So I was praying for wisdom, and I told him, if you trust in your good works and religion, you're never going to make it, man. I told him like that, like, man, you know, kind of brother, man. Then I shared with him the gospel, whereby I said, if I were to be a criminal in your country, I go up to your judge, and I told the judge, judge, I'm a good man. You know, I take care of my parents, I take care of my family, I work very hard. I'm a good man. Judge, you shouldn't judge me. The judge will tell me, yeah, Johnny, you're a good man. You take care of your family, you take care of what? But you still break the law in the Philippines, and so you have to pay. Right? And so Mark actually agreed, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then I asked him one thing. This is for Christians. I asked him this. Have you heard this before? You know what he said? No. I've never heard that Jesus Christ died to pay for my sins. That I have to do good works. I'm here to tell you that if you trust in your good works and religion, no matter how strong you are in it, you're never going to make it, man. Otherwise, if we can, by our good works, go to heaven, Jesus Christ did not have to die on the cross, amen? He did not have to. Why should he suffer so much if we can do it? We can do our good works, go to heaven, all right? So repentance, that's why we have to understand our sin, our unbelief, our pride. We need to repent from that and then put our faith in Jesus Christ. And then we will have the proper salvation from the Bible. Okay? Okay? This is very, very important. Please remember this. Okay, we're going to talk about what is saving faith. Okay? What is saving faith? These are the five things that we need to be very clear. What is saving faith? It's important to understand when you have saving faith, it's not something that you just believe. How many of you actually believe in aliens? Put your hand. Don't be shy. How many of you believe in Santa? How many believe in the tooth fairy? Or how many believe in Santa Claus? All these things are. You know, it's something in your head, but there are some people who believe in Santa Claus so much that when Christmas time comes, they actually dress up in Santa Claus, they go to the North Pole, they do all kinds of things. Because I believe in that. Okay, that's it. And in some countries of the world, celebrate. I'll give you an example. The Black Nazarene, for example, when I was in the Philippines, they believe in the Black Nazarene. Right? They believe, those of Filipinos, you know, they actually believe in the Black Nazarene. Their whole festival's about it. They carry the statue. They do all kinds of things. Why? They put faith in it. The belief actually affects. I know there's a Black Nazarene. I don't believe in him. It doesn't affect me. Okay? Saving faith, it's something that when you believe, it actually affects you. It actually affects you. Okay? An example is, just an example from here. We know who is, George Washington, right? We know, we believe in these people. But you know what? We know that these people exist. We believe in them. We believe that they were around. But you know what? Belief in them doesn't change us. We're not going to be an American citizen because we believe in George Washington. He was around, okay? So be very clear that there is such a thing as belief and there's saving faith. Okay? Many people believe that Jesus Christ lived long ago and he did many wonderful things, but the belief does not change their life. A belief in Christ that doesn't change your life is not saving faith. I say again, a belief in Jesus Christ that doesn't change your life is not saving faith. It may start off as a struggle and you know it's right and all that and you trusted Christ, but then there's a lot of things. But you know what? If it doesn't change your life, or you just continue on in the way it should, you want to live your life, that's not saving faith. Okay, so we want to look at five things about saving faith quickly. Number one, it is a undivided faith. Okay, it means you only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an undivided faith. In John 14 verse 6, the Bible says what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's undivided. That means you cannot believe in Jesus and believe in Hinduism. You cannot believe in Jesus and believe in an idol. You cannot believe in Jesus and believe in a church or an organization. You cannot do that. It's undivided. That means if Jesus is your Savior, He is your Savior, there's no, you cannot say, oh, I believe this, but it's not, you know, how many of you have more than one insurance? Sometimes people buy from Prudential and AIA and all that. Jesus is not that. Okay? Jesus is the only Savior. He's undivided, okay? The faith that we have, that means, if I'm a Christian, you won't see me going to another church. Or rather, you won't see me going to the temple. Why? Because I'm a Christian. We have one brother here who got saved, and I think he's quite sick. Mr. T is quite sick, right? Okay, for Mr. T, who has been coming for 2 years, you know, they believe in Taoism and all that, and they're pretty strong and all that. But you know, after he became a Christian, some of you may know his dad passed away a few months ago. He made a decision to have a Christian funeral. And this is the reason why. He said, now I'm a Christian, I cannot follow that kind of rituals anymore. And I didn't teach him that. In fact, he tried to get me. His dad actually passed away in the night. And the day I was very tired, very sick. I think my wife would know I was very, very sick. And he tried to call me because he had to make some decisions about the funeral and all that. So he decided, no, I cannot go through the rites anymore. I'm a Christian. And he chose a Christian funeral. And it was such a blessing because he actually pleaded with his loved ones to trust Christ, even though he was just a young Christian. All right? So we thank God for that. It's an undivided faith. Okay? It's undivided. That means there are no other gods, no images, no other gods. Okay, so that's one, an undivided faith. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, let me just quote that, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other name, only Jesus. It's an undivided faith. Okay, so that's one. The second one, saving faith is a trusting faith. Okay, it's a trusting faith. The word believe means to trust, to depend on, to commit yourself to. In other words, if you believe in someone, okay, if you believe in someone, you will actually say, okay, I'll let you do it. Very interesting, when I was in the Philippines, Rakla shared this. I don't know all the names, but you know the Niagara Falls? You know the Niagara Falls, the waterfall, huge waterfall, and apparently there was one guy who put this tight rope and he walked across. And he didn't just walk across, he would walk across with one leg, he will walk across a tight rope, across this giant waterfall, and he will cook an egg. When he was on the waterfall, he will carry his a cooker and whatever, he goes to the middle of the fall, get an egg, fry it, and then lower it down to the people at the bottom. And then he walked across, and he was so good that one day, he actually told his manager, I'm going to carry you across, okay? But the manager has seen him done it so many times. You know what the manager did? Okay. And hop on. And so the manager was so trusting of this guy walking out of Niagara Falls, which means that you may actually fall in the water, but the manager was so confident that he could do it again. He said, all right, you just go. But you know, this man told him, don't do anything. Leave me to do everything. Because if you do anything, you can fall into the water. You know, sometimes we are very afraid, right? You may move, and then you say, don't do anything. Just let me do everything. That's salvation. If we ever think we can do anything to go to heaven, we will never make it to heaven. You know, that's a wonderful picture of, when I heard it, it was someone, it's just a simple, trusting faith, just like a little girl or little boy who just trusts mommy and daddy to provide for them. Okay? So it's a trusting faith. Is your faith a trusting? Do you trust Jesus 100% without any good works to save you? Okay, for those who just came in, I just want to let you know there will be a quiz. So if you're not taking notes, you may fail, all right? So I'm very serious right now. I'm sorry, I'm learning things from the Bible conference. We need to train, we need to understand the word, and you need to reproduce. Okay, see all the pens coming already. Number three, saving faith is a convinced faith. Convinced. To be faith, I must be fully convinced that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior, and that He will fulfill His promises to me. Okay? An example is this. I was supposed to meet Brother Joshua Kok on Sunday at the airport at Terminal 2, right? Okay? I'm thankful he trusted the itinerary I sent him rather than me. You know why? I saw it wrongly. I thought it was Terminal 3. Then he said, Pastor, which terminal am I supposed to meet you in? Is it Terminal 2 or Terminal 3? I said 3, because I'm very confident. So I thought, but the people say it's Terminal 2. So I think I go to Terminal 2. Praise God, he trusts the itinerary more than me. And you know what? Because, sir, correct, you see? Amen. I'm excited too. But you know what? My thought that we were supposed to go to Terminal 3 caused me to make a decision. I actually booked the router and collected Terminal 3. Can you see that my initial decision affected my decisions after that? You know, I'm thankful for a brother like that who was so attentive and said, no, Pastor, it's Terminal 2. So thank God I met him. We had Nanyang, we had Laksa and all that. So it was a good time. But anyway, but he wasn't convinced by me. He was convinced by the word. He was convinced by the itinerary that was given. And he was right. And I was wrong. And so let's pretend, okay? Let's pretend. I said, no, it's Terminal 3. You come to Terminal 3. Pastor, sorry. I think Terminal 2. No, you come. Let's say, he said, I'm not listening to you. Because he's going to listen to the Bible. Guess what? He's going to Philippines, I'm not. Right? Hopefully that's a very clear example. But for us, we need to be convinced. I'm convinced, but I'm wrong. He's convinced, but he's right. Because he's basing his faith in something that is written. I'm basing my faith on something that I think. But what I did was, I went to the email and checked. And then said, hey, you are right. And I'm thankful that he was more attentive than me. Okay? We need to be convinced of the right thing. But saving faith is a convinced faith. In other words, you are sure, you are sure, you are sure. This is the kind of faith that the Jesus' early disciples had. Let's turn to John chapter 6. Okay, John chapter 6. For those who just came in, there will be a quiz at the end. So from now on, there will be quizzes every week. So so that we can actually have hopefully a quick review of what we have. It's a very simple one. It's just circle multiple choice, just fill in one or two verses along the way. John 6:66. Okay, let me just read that. And then hear for yourself what it means to have convinced faith. Okay? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus was preaching about the bread of life. Many people ate the bread physically, but when Jesus preached that you must believe on me in order to have eternal life, many of them said, no way, man, I'm not going to put my faith in a carpenter. I'm not going to put my faith in what you say. And so the Bible says many of them walked away. Then in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? He was looking at his disciples, those who were following him. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's convinced faith. That's convinced faith. Convinced faith will, when you meet the trials of life, you're not going to give up the faith. Because you're convinced that this is the right thing. Yeah, outside may be wrong, but this is right. Okay, just like what Brother Joshua called, said, no, Pastor, so what, I'm the pastor. I'm not the authority when it comes to itinerary. The airline is. So you better listen to the airline. So he trusted in the airline. He got it right. I've got to follow. Does that make sense? In the same way, about salvation, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ only, without the church, without any organization, can save you, then you'll be going to the wrong terminal. Okay? So it has to be a convinced faith. Number four is an unmixed faith. Unmixed. What does it mean? The first one is undivided. It means that your faith is in Jesus alone, not in another idol, not in another church, not in another temple or whatever. It's undivided. Your loyalty is to the Lord Jesus, and your faith, saving faith, has that loyalty. Okay? But unmixed means saving faith cannot be mixed with human works. You cannot do anything to be saved. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Turn there, and then I'll read. Verse 8 to 10, let me just read. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For salvation, for saving faith, it must be unmixed. I cannot say, I believe in Jesus, but I must still go and do good things. We can't. Just like I said just now, if I'm a criminal in a courtroom, I'm condemned already. No matter what good I do, the judge has already said, I'm going to sentence you because you are found guilty. Okay? So we cannot. We have to accept salvation as a free gift from Christ. Free gift from Jesus Christ. Not as a reward for good works. Okay? But after, I'll talk about that, after we become a Christian, then we do the good works to show our gratefulness to God. Okay? And the last point, okay, the key things here, I just read here, a gift is something that someone else purchases and gives freely to me. Just like when I went there, when me and Brother Joshua called, when we hit the airport, when we reached the airport already, Brother Maloney's sister and the mother was there. And you know what? They already bought my favorite palabok. Okay? My favorite Filipino food. Okay? And they bought it and they gave it to me. And after that, we went back to our room. We could enjoy it. I didn't have to pay anything. I just enjoyed that free gift that the sister's name, I think, is Michelle, yeah, thank you, Michelle, and Shona. Shona is the mother. You know what? It was such a blessing because they came at 10, about 11 o'clock in almost midnight to come and fetch us. But anyway, I received the free gift, and I realized they bought it from somewhere and gave it to us. Salvation is a free gift. Jesus paid with his blood to buy that salvation for us, and he says, would you receive it by faith? But you need to turn away from your sin, okay? So, it is an unmixed faith. Are we enjoying God's free salvation in Jesus Christ? As a disciple of Christ, you need to know your salvation is absolutely free. But some people say, wow, you mean as a Christian, you just accept it and that's fine? No, it's not that. We understand it cost God everything to buy the salvation for us. That's why as a Christian, we cannot take our Christian lives for granted. Okay? We cannot take it for granted. Because it's just like maybe a very poor student who knows the parents work so hard to earn the money and give the money for the education. I'm sure you heard of stories where some students say, because my mom and dad work so hard, I'm going to study hard. Because I don't want the hard work to go to waste. That is the proper response of a Christian. A Christian doesn't say, wow, I can do this already because I'm going to heaven. No, you can't. Attitude is not right. Okay? So it's an unmixed faith. And the last point is a receiving faith. Saving faith received Jesus as Lord and Savior. The word receive had the idea of welcoming. Okay, you welcome Christ into your life and you receive him. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Okay? So these are the five qualities of your saving faith. If you have saving faith in Christ, you need to pass all this. You need to be very clear. My faith is undivided. Jesus Christ, not Ambassador Baptist Church, not Pastor Johnny. I'm not loyal to them, I'm loyal to Christ. He said, Jesus saved me, I need to be loyal to him. Okay? I'm trusting him. I'm not doing anything. I just trust him to save me. Because he said he's going to save me, so I'm just going to trust him. Right? He's convinced, in other words, I'm very sure, 100%. Okay? For example, if I ask Jonathan, Jonathan, are you a boy or a girl? Are you sure? He's convinced. That's what it means, you know. You cannot say, maybe. If you go Europe and America, some people may still be trying to decide. But you know, you're a boy. It's very obvious. So actually, are you a girl? You sure? No, he's sure. That's convinced. So the question, are you a Christian? Can you honestly say that? It's either you are a Christian or you are not. Okay? And then, of course, unmixed means you cannot do anything for your salvation. And finally, it must be a receiving faith. Okay? So the next part, point you want to talk, what does works have to do? So, Brother Johnny, does that mean as a, in salvation, I don't have to do anything? The Bible is very clear. It's a trusting faith. You don't have to do anything for salvation. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 again. Okay? Just now we are there. In verse number 9 says, not of works lest any man should boast. Right? So salvation, good works does not save you. That's what Jesus said. If it does, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to die. If we can earn it for ourselves, okay? But you know what verse 10 says? For we are his workmanship. After we become a Christian, after we became a Christian, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good unto good works. In other words, after we become Christian, the good work starts to come out from our lives because we are grateful for what Jesus has done for us. Does that make sense? You cannot be saved by the good works, but after that, you have lots of good works because you want to glorify Christ and thank him. It's just like, I think that's how I share with the student who study hard. The student studies hard, and when I was in the army, there was one man, his name is Bernard. Okay? Not Bernard Neo, another Bernard. Okay? Bernard Tan, I think. His name is Bernard Tan. It's very interesting. He's the, he will fall in his... Everyone fall in, then he will... Badoon! And he will... And we think he was queer. He's a bit weird. You know what? You know, sometimes people are weird outwardly, but when you sit down and talk to them, you know what he told me? Johnny, I came to this OCS course because I want to win the sword for my mom. You want to, in the 9 months officer cadet course, if you do very well, they will give you a sword of honor. Okay, he wasn't sword of honor, but he was sword winner. And he said, I'm doing it for my mom. I'm doing it for my mom. I don't know what happened, he didn't share much. I think maybe there's something quite sentimental, maybe the mom is very sick, I don't know. But I could sense the gratefulness in his heart. I said, and he's very weird. But he said, I'm doing it for my mom. It wasn't to earn the mom's favor. It was to respect the mom. It was to honor the mom. Does that make sense? That's what a Christian needs to do. Works, that's why a Christian ought to have a lot of good works. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Okay? Titus, after you become a Christian, good works is part and parcel of the Christian life. Okay? It doesn't save you, but it shows that you are a Christian. Titus chapter 3. Okay, let me just read this. And when I say that, I'm just obeying what the Bible says. Okay, Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Let's read together. Okay? Ready? One, two, go. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, Paul was talking to Titus, and as Titus was a pastor, Paul is telling Titus, I want you to affirm constantly. Constantly tell the people, constantly remind the people, which I'm doing right now, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So which comes first, belief in God or good works? Which comes first? They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Not just to do a good work here and there, but to maintain it. Okay? So good works is part and parcel of the Christian life. There are two types of good works. One is spiritual works that God asks us to do, service in the church, baptism, staying away from sin, and all these are the good things God wants us to do, being kind to our neighbors. And the other part is being a good student, being a good a citizen of the country, being a good father, being all these are the good works that people can see through your life. Okay? Okay. So the place of works in Ephesians chapter 4, I just go through quickly, it's on the whole long list. God wants us to live obedient, holy lives, but that comes after salvation. Okay? Good works is the result of salvation. Good works is the product of salvation, not the way of salvation. You have to be very clear. Okay? Good works are produced in the believer by the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, God, the Holy Spirit will help you to do those things. Okay? So in Ephesians chapter 4, I'll just ramble through. Ephesians 4 verse 1, we're told to be humble. Ephesians 4 verse 1, we're told to be long-suffering. Ephesians 4 verse 25, we're told to put away lying. Ephesians 4 verse 26, we're told to put away anger. Ephesians 4 verse 28, you can read it for yourself, I just read through. We are told not to steal. Ephesians 4 verse 29, we must be careful that no corrupt things come out from our mouth. Ephesians 4 verse 32, we're told to be kind and forgiving. All right. Ephesians 5 verse 3, we're told to put away sexual sins. Ephesians 5:16, we're told to redeem the time. Ephesians 5:17, we're told to understand God's will, etc. Okay, if you read through that, you'll find that after we become a Christian, there's a whole list of things that God wants us to learn. It's just like when you go to school, primary one, they just say, okay, your school starts at 7:45. You have to obey that, right? Right? Do you have to obey that in order to be a student, or you're already a student, then the teacher tells you 7:45? You already enrolled already. So he told you the rules. All right, you got to wear this uniform. It has to be this color. You go to PHS, I'm sure also there's only certain hair clip that you can, oh, you're smiling. Oh, certain hair clip color that you can use. Okay, some schools are very particular about that. You cannot wear, in Chongzhen High School, I understand, all the girls have to, cannot, you fail. You cannot have this kind of hair. You must cut like that one. All right? But no, you're PHS, so you don't have to worry. Okay? I know, you're at Chongzhen, right? Do you have to cut your hair? Don't have to, okay. Last time there was, okay, there was this thing. Maybe it's neat, I'm not too sure. But you have to like tie your hair and all that? Did you have to tie your hair? You have to tie your hair, right? Or that kind of thing. So different schools got different rules and regulations in order to help cultivate discipline. Cultivate discipline. Okay? So God wants us to be a disciple, and disciple means discipline. Okay? Now, okay, the last point is this. Any questions? So, works is, you cannot do any good works, you go to heaven. And after you are a Christian, that's when good works come in. So the thing we need to be very clear of, am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? Have I repented from my sin? Have I put on Christ? Okay? And the last point is salvation a religious process. That means I have to do certain things. The last one is salvation, sorry, a religious process. I missed out the last point, the last one. Is it a process? When I was in Philippines, Pastor John Mark was sharing with me something that was very humorous. He said, for a faithful Catholic to be 100% guaranteed going to heaven, you must do all the seven sacraments. There are seven sacraments in the Catholic process, and that's all part of your salvation, all a means of grace. Firstly is infant baptism. Okay? Then there's confirmation. Then there's confessionals. Then there is a marriage. And then, I'm not a Catholic, so I don't know all, but I miss out two, but I know before you die, you must have the final confession by the priest, to the priest. So Pastor John Mark will ask them, What if a Catholic, faithful Catholic stays out in the province somewhere far away and he dies before the Catholic priest reaches him? Then you don't go to heaven, no? And he was sharing with me that many of the Catholics in the Philippines don't even know what all the seven sacraments are. And Pastor John must say, I'm not a Catholic, but he knows, because he's a Filipino and he was a Christian. He knows all the seven sacraments, but the people, when he shared the gospel with, they don't even know the seven sacraments. It's really funny because, I'm turning to heaven, and I'm saying you can't follow all the sacraments. So even for a Christian, it's not a process. I say, I need to become like this first, then I become like this, and become like this. No, you don't have to. It's not a process. Okay? It's not a religious process. Let's turn to, let's see which verse is very clear. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Okay, Acts 16. These four passages are very important. Okay, Matthew 18 verse 3, I'll just quote it to you so at least you have some idea. Jesus says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? John 3 verse 3 says what? Except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. Acts 2:41 says what? And they which gladly received the word were baptized. Okay? And now we are in Acts chapter 16, verse 13-31. Let me just read this. This is about the Filipino jailer. Oh, the Philippian jailer. I always make that joke. The Philippian jailer. Of course, the Philippian jailer was in charge of Paul. He put him in prison. And that night there was earthquake. And then Paul and Silas, Philippian jailer was going to kill himself, because if something happens, the prisoners escape, then the jailer will be killed. The person in charge of the prison will be killed. So this jailer is going to kill himself. And Paul says, wait, stop, don't do anything. We are still here. And the jailer says, you are? I thought you guys would run away, because as prisoners, you want to get away from the prison, right? But no, he stayed. And then, guess what? Immediately, verse 30, you know what the man says? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be a Christian? What must I do? You know, maybe it was Paul's testimony. I think this is very powerful. When Paul and Silas was in prison, and in prison, it was in the stinking jail. They had all the chair, it was cold. No, they were doing, they weren't complaining, they were praising God. And the Philippian jailer must have heard. When the earthquake happened, they realized, hey, the earthquake and these guys are no coincidence. And God convicted that person's heart and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then Paul told him what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Guess what? That night, the Philippian jailer was saved. Salvation is an instantaneous, immediate occurrence. There is a change. Or rather, when you get saved, it's an immediate thing. In other words, you heard the word. That's why, you know why I ask people to put up their hands during the message? It is not just to, you know, a lot of people are very shy about that. But if God is working in your heart, just like he's working, you need to put up your hand so that I can pray for you. You know what? When God makes that change, you need to respond. This Philippian jailer responded to the call of salvation. He said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believing Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. And that night, look at verse 32. And they speak unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And it took them the same hour of the night. They washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his house. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat at meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Salvation is instantaneous. Salvation is instantaneous. The behavior may not change immediately, but something changed on the day of your salvation. I don't know about you, I remember the day I trusted Christ. This deacon from thank God, it was a fundamental independent Baptist church, came, knocked on my door. I placed my faith. I still remember his face. I still remember that day. It was in block 124, 15th floor. My mom will remember the night. The day my mom was working, Upper Paya Lebar Road. On a Sunday, he came on the door. That day I put my faith in Christ. Although I still was a bit unsure, and interestingly, when I went back to Toa Payoh, Block 33, this is such a coincidence. The same people who went tracting in Block 124, Upper Paya Lebar Road, came tracting in Toa Payoh as well. And I was brought to the same church which I trusted Christ in. And it's just such a coincidence. But it's not a coincidence, it's God. But I know that at that point it was changed. Okay? So any questions?